ABC News. I'm Sherry. Preston, Pope Francis still hospitalized, but he has met with the Vatican Secretary of State on future canonization ceremonies for potential saints. ABC's Marcus Moore has the latest from Rome.
Vatican sources also tell ABC News that Pope Francis remains in good humor and that he's not in pain. The faithful are expected to gather for him again for a special prayer service tonight here at the Vatican.
The Pope has been diagnosed with double pneumonia. More federal workers being let go in Washington. The Trump administration pushing forward with the cuts. The Department of Veterans Affairs forced to lay off 1,400 probationary employees overnight. There's also confusion about whether or not government workers should be responding to the email that came from Elon Musk's Doge asking them to send a list of their job duties or risk being fired. Acting IRS Commissioner Doug O'Donnell will announce that he is stepping down as soon as this week, according to sources. He's said to be distressed about the chaos. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Two people have died after an apparent gas leak in the township of Oakdale. The Monroe County 911 Communications Center received a call reporting the possibility of multiple deaths and a gas leak at an address on Hobby Road Sunday night around 5. The caller reported they had gone to the residence as they had not heard from the occupants. When they arrived and entered the home, they located a juvenile in the home that was unresponsive and noted the strong odor of gas. They were able to remove a female juvenile from the home. However, life-saving measures were unsuccessful, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. Upon arrival, emergency personnel were able to shut off the gas to the house and make it safe to enter. Inside the residence, an adult male was also found to be deceased, as well as a dog and cat. The incident remains under investigation. However, investigators were able to determine the source of the gas, and there is no information at this time that foul play was involved. Following a traffic incident in the town of Viroqua late Saturday afternoon, Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the arrest of Dustin Andrew Mudd, 36, of Viroqua. The Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received a report of a blue pickup truck being operated erratically on U.S. Highway 14 near County Road Y at approximately 4:30. The vehicle was traveling south toward the city of Viroqua, and Viroqua police quickly responded to assist the Sheriff's Office. The vehicle was stopped on North Main Street in the city of Viroqua. Mudd was taken into custody for operating while intoxicated and felony bail jumping. Traffic on U.S. Highway 14 was heavy due to the finish of the WIA High School Sectional Wrestling Tournament in Westby. Any motorist who encountered this vehicle Saturday afternoon between La Crosse and Viroqua and witnessed traffic violations are urged to contact the Vernon County Sheriff's Office at 608-637-2123. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona, where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study?
I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt chilling, sitting, I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be in city all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, chance of rain and a low of 33. Chance of rain Wednesday, otherwise clouds and mid 40s. For Thursday, partly sunny, 42. Friday, partly sunny and windy with highs in the upper 40s.
Currently 33 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Superintendent Brittany Kinzer is endorsed by Moms for Liberty. What threats are posed to your kids' education by the candidate for the superintendency? We discuss with Dan Schaefer at 2:30.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm feeling good, Earl, man. It is a blessed weekend ahead. Well, ahead of me. I got a lot of stuff going on this weekend ahead. I'm looking in the forecast. And, yeah, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
And you're already looking at the weekend?
I'm already forecasting the weekend.
Sandy, you know, man.
These people don't just live for the weekend. Apparently, they only live in the weekends.
It's Tuesday, man. You know, I haven't forecast. I mean, I got a lot of stuff going on, but I got to take it, Sandy, one day at a time.
Yeah.
You know, is that what happens when we...
Maybe, you know, Gen Z just doesn't live during the weekend, during the week, just on weekends. I was just reading an article about how there's a school course that's being taught on teaching Gen Z people how to use the telephone. Apparently, most Gen Zers have a phone phobia, other than texting on the phone. They don't know what the phone is for, in terms of talking into it. It's just for texting.
You know, look, if you don't know by now, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, good morning to you. Let's start with the pleasantries.
Well, we should just text to one another on the pleasant. Let's just, it doesn't work so well on the radio, but, you know, what the hell? That's what everyone's doing.
You know, we're just in a place, you know, that I'm trying to understand. You know, Generation Z, you know, I've got some old cassette tapes, right? That I've had for a long time, and they're in the basement. And
yeah, they're antiques.
I know. What's the point of it even? Well, people still held on to those 8-tracks, and it turned out the 8-tracks wound up being worth some money.
Just because they were rare. And novelties, you know, I think they're, you know, 8-tracks, holy cow. And it's, you know, Henry Mancini music usually, you know. Well, elevator music.
Well, let me ask you, because if you go back, Sandy, you know, I'm sure you had reel-to-reels. Did you hang on to your reel-to-reels?
No, but we did. Growing up, my father was he was into novel technology. He was a techie back before there were techies, and we had reel-to-reel recorders.
Yep. Well, people held on to them. They wound up being worth some money.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, you know, computers used to run on reel-to-reel computers and reel-to-reel tape for a long time.
Hey, Sandy.
Yeah, the early computers had reel-to-reel. In other words, yeah. Instead of a cassette disc, you had a tape reel. That was the memory.
Even I don't remember that one, Sandy.
Well,
that's way above our pay cut.
You know, yeah. But I'll also say, Sandy, if, you know, just thinking back on those things, did you keep your, what do you call those things? Not the records.
Shoes?
But not records, but the big ones, the big.
Oh, the 78 RPM?
The 78 RPM was a little bit before my time. But, yeah. You know, they had a little 45 records, and then they had the other ones that were.
Vinyl disc?
Is that they? Those they didn't vinyl, call them.
Yeah. Right.
No, they didn't call them discs.
Yeah, vinyl. They call them vinyl. Back then, they were 33 RPM.
Yeah, but they were big. Well, I'm talking about, what do you call them, man? I used to buy these. You go in the store and you buy these albums. I guess albums they were called.
Yeah, they were called albums. Sometimes some people unconventionally would just call them records.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know people who kept all that stuff. Man, I got rid of this. If you kept all that stuff, Sandy, I mean, you'd almost be considered a hoarder, right?
Well, except that they do get valuable. You know, baseball cards, those things that kids kept, apparently they got valuable.
Yeah, but
so
Sandy, a baseball card
I just chewed
is
the
small.
Gum.
A baseball
I would go to the drugstore with my buddies. They would keep the cards, and I would chew that awful, crisp, paper-like gum. Yeah, bubble gum.
It was horrible. You know,
that's what I did.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, people who kept these albums and, you know, and the album came back to be worth something. But, you know, I guess, you know, I wasn't either smart enough or I just could not see holding on to a bunch of albums
Years. I currently embrace the idea that things are much more valuable when they get older.
Does that include you and I?
Yeah, that was my point. Yeah.
Hey, why don't
vintage? We are vintage people, and that's kind of a good thing.
Well, maybe
some people collect them.
Well, maybe they should be asking our wives if we are more valuable as we.
Yeah.
Well, yep.
So we can't call you guys old timers. You guys are vintage.
Yeah. yeah, I guess we are that. But anyway, got a lot to talk about. Sandy, 52 degrees yesterday.
I know it's my ice rink is deciding to transform. It's transformative for ice, this heat.
Well, but Sandy, it certainly had its, you know.
It had a good run.
Used it, right.
Yeah, it had a good run. I don't know whether this turns directly into spring, but every day that's warm like this is a day that isn't winter. So,
you know, it was 52 degrees. All that snow melted. I mean, it's amazing how quickly it went.
Yeah.
But I guess 52 degrees does something harrowing to snow and ice, right?
Yeah, snow and ice live in fear of 52 degrees. But and also the snow was very powdery. It wasn't very dense snow, so there wasn't as much moisture in it. And it's gone. I'm looking out.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank
back to brown.
Well, well, you know, and maybe this snow that we got week before last, maybe that snow was good because we do know that snow melts, it turns into water, and it eventually does something for the earth, right, and grass.
Yeah, you're no fool. You got that right.
Listen, a lot to talk about today, Sandy. An awful. There's always a lot to talk about. I want to begin, Sandy, though, with
actually, I would accuse us today of living within that Chinese curse. You know, may you live in interesting times. I think it's a little too interesting right now, actually. I think the times are surprisingly interesting at a level that's disturbing.
You know, the Trump policies caught up with UW-Madison and Milwaukee Public Schools the other day. UW-Madison had been offering courses to bring in teachers and educate them for special ed, since there's so many, such a lack of special ed teachers in Milwaukee Public Schools. And so there was something that was going on where there were money set aside to train teachers in order to, at UW-Madison, in order to make sure that they would be able to come into Milwaukee Public Schools and fill major voids to address, you know, many of the children who are special ed students. And so Trump's policies shut all that off. And they shut all of that off because they said, well, there was DEI training going on there. Sandy, we're living in strange times.
Well, it isn't strange. I mean, it's cruel. The notion that, you know, if voucher schools don't have to take all these special ed students, and so the public school system ends up being the one that has to deal with, you know, these people, the special ed students do require special education. They can be difficult to have in a regular classroom. They can make it harder to teach all the rest of the students. And so it's important that there be trained people to properly provide the opportunities to these special ed students. And if you have a policy that is essentially trying to turn your back on public schools, trying to fund vouchers, you can also stick your head in the sand about special ed students and ignore them. And it's not just cruel, but it's counterproductive. It makes it very hard to teach the rest of the students.
You know, Sandy, the fact that the reason and the rationale that they gave was they're doing DEI. I mean, you know.
Well, apparently DEI might include dealing with and providing for special ed students. I mean, DEI seems to be a term that is used quite broadly, and it's not clearly well defined. What is DEI education? You know, it could mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, and apparently it doesn't seem to supporting special ed students.
You know, Sandy, you certainly said it right. Cruel, just cruel, inhumane to cut that off. And we're going to talk a little bit later on. And I guess actually, when we come back, I want to talk about nearly 40% of contracts canceled by DOJ are expected to produce no savings. You said that.
Yeah, I mean, when they've rolled up their sleeves and looked for actual savings, much of what they're cutting is theoretical money that wasn't maybe going to be spent anyway, or is money that was miscalculated and the savings have been severely, extremely overestimated. And so, yeah, and this is all for the purpose of trying to cut taxes. And after we come back, I did some research on the level of taxation in this country over the past 75 years.
All right.
And it's lower today.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina Supreme Court declined to fast-track a challenge by a GOP Supreme Court candidate who lost in November by 734 votes. And super PACs backed by Elon Musk are pouring millions into Wisconsin's 2025 Supreme Court race. After two recounts, incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs led by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger, Judge Jefferson Griffin, claims as many as 65,000 of those voters were ineligible. February 17th, Griffin filed in appeals court, but the state elections board requested a fast track to the state Supreme Court. February 20th, that request was denied, and the case is likely to be heard later this year. The New York Times reported Elon Musk's America PAC is spending $1 million on GOP voter turnout for an April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Musk's Building America Future PAC has also booked another $1.5 million supporting former GOP State Attorney General Brad Schimmel. His opponent, Judge Susan Crawford, raised over $7.7 million so far with outside spending via donations to the Wisconsin Democratic Party. The 2023 election of Justice Janet Prusiewicz resulted in fairer redistricting maps for the first time in over a decade. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Show as always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy. Sandy, your music.
Well, it's kind of about craziness. The music that evokes or is evocative of sort of a sense of craziness. That's Harry Nilsson, Jump Into the Fire, which is one of my favorite pieces, actually. But it seemed apropos of our time today, because I wake up each day and something about what's going on just feels bizarre. You know, it doesn't feel real. One of the things that I mentioned before the break that I just wanted to mention, having done the research, is that much of what's going on, the Doge and the rest of it, seems to be to justify a tax break under the assertion that government is big and wasteful and that we're being overtaxed. Well, the history of our taxation level is contrary to that proposition. For the last 75 years, the U.S. taxes collected by income taxes has been quite stable and has been in the 8% of GDP range for 75 years. We were taxed at a higher percentage of GDP in the 50s and 60s. And for the last 20 years, we've been taxed at a rate currently our rate is about 7.7% of GDP, which is lower than the 75-year trend. So currently income taxes as a percentage of GDP, which is the drag on the economy that it might be, is at its lowest level over the past 75 years. So all of this talk about the need to chop at government and put a meat axe at it to get this tax burden off of our backs defies the reality.
Well, you know, Sandy, the GOP, many GOP senators right now and Congress people are calling for even deeper cuts in the budget. And I'm looking here, nearly 40% of federal contracts that the Trump administration claims to have canceled as part of its signature cost cutting program aren't expected to save the government any money. The administration's own data shows the Department of Government Efficiency run by Elon Musk last week published an initial list of 1,125 contracts that had terminated in recent weeks across the federal government. Data published on DOGE's Wall of Receipts shows that more than one-third of the contract cancellations, 417 in all, are expected to yield no savings. That's usually because the total value of the contract has already been fully obligated, which means the government has a legal requirement to spend the funds for the goods or services it purchased, and in many cases has already done so, Sandy.
Well, an NPR did a deep dive with their staff into the alleged savings that DOGE was claiming last week, and it was DOGE was claiming something like $85 billion, and when they rolled up their sleeves, it looked to be nothing in excess of $1 to $2 billion in as possible savings. And so, you know, this is a lot of hype, and it's hype designed to support a tax reduction. They're even grifting us into suggesting that maybe they'll send each of us a big check out of these savings, which incidentally, this even with the savings, if they were to occur, would still leave our annual budget with a very substantial deficit, over a $1 trillion deficit. So, I mean, you know, this is grifting. This is all just PR designed to support tax reductions, which in fact will leave us with continuing deficits.
You know, this article says it's like confiscating used ammunition after it's shot when there's nothing left in it. It doesn't accomplish any policy objectives, says Charles Tiefer, a retired University of Baltimore law professor and expert on government contracting law. They're terminating so many contracts pointlessly, obviously doesn't accomplish anything for saving the money. You know, Sandy, it's one thing to say that the government is bloated, and nobody disagrees with that. And, you know, there's certainly areas that this should be addressed. But to take a meat cleaver or a chainsaw, like yeah. Elon Musk did the other day, and say this is the way we're going at it, and you know, in the face of it, Sandy, in the face of people who call him out on it, excuse me, if you said these things and somebody called you out on it, shouldn't you have to defend it?
Well, you know, but the fact is that people should exercise common sense, okay? And frequently the conservatives are talking about how that's what's being used right now is common sense. Well, common sense ought to tell you that with the complexity that the U.S. government has, sending in a small team of people into a department and suggesting that in 1 week or 2 weeks they can wrap their arms around understanding what is going on in that department, what's important, what isn't important, what's waste, what isn't waste, what's fraud, what isn't fraud, is to beg credulity. And so, you know, this is all just arm waving. And what we really need is a deliberate process for deciding what our policies ought to be, implementing our policies, and making sure they're implemented in a sound fashion. And by deliberate, I don't mean snail pace, but this is far different than snail pace. This is whirlwind. This is blitzkrieg.
You know, Sandy, and as we, you know, drill a little deeper, it almost appears to be no way to stop this right now. It's going to happen. 855-752-4842 is Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my call, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
From the center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Division of Motor Vehicles, has noted a troubling trend in the number of scams by vehicle sellers posing as car dealers online. DMV dealer and agent section chief Mara Shifalakwa explained an individual creates a website or social media profile claiming to be a Wisconsin dealership. Stock images or photos of real vehicles and real Wisconsin dealerships are included to make the website seem legitimate. However, there is nothing legitimate about it. The advertised vehicles may be listed at below market value, causing interested consumers to take the bait. There are similarities with each case known as dealer cloning, fake websites or social media pages, cars priced below market value, and no in-person contact with the seller. Wisconsin DMV is aware of multiple cases that follow this pattern with fraudulently created websites or Facebook profiles alleging to be legitimate Wisconsin dealerships. Shifalakwa said in many cases the fraudster interacts with the consumer by phone or email. The buyer might receive a bill of sale and several photos of a vehicle and agree to purchase by wire transfer, believing the seller will ship the car to them. After the wire transfer is completed, the seller stops all contact, and the customer eventually realizes they've become a victim of fraud. If you are the victim of a scam involving a motor vehicle sale, you may speak to Wisconsin DOT's DMV Dealer and Agent section by filing a dealer complaint at wisconsindmv.gov/dealer-complaint. Report internet-based crime at ic3.gov. Consider filing a police report with the local law enforcement agency where you reside. For more information, visit wisconsindmv.gov. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America: Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million-plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor: Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Longlegs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, chance of rain and a low of 33. Chance of rain Wednesday, otherwise clouds and mid 40s. For Thursday, partly sunny, 42. Friday, partly sunny and windy with highs in the upper 40s.
It's 34 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
yes.
with what it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at LoveLost.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
The song Charles Manson stole from the Beatles
We're stealing the fire.
When you get to the bottom, you go back to the top of the slide, and you stop, and you turn, and you go for a ride. Then you get to the bottom, then you see me again. Hey, hey. Do you, don't you want me to love you? Coming out fast and right here for you.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, Elon Musk seems to have total latitude to do whatever he wants to do. It doesn't matter that he's sending out these signals that are just causing destruction and mayhem all over our government, and Donald Trump refuses to rein him in. You know, Sandy, he's all over the nation where people work in government, and you've talked about this many times. Even those in leadership don't know what to do or what to say. For heaven's sakes, the Veterans Administration not knowing what to tell the people if they should respond or not. People
In fact, ultimately, the Office of Personnel Management, which is part of the White House, decided that they would come out with a memo and say, yeah, you don't have to answer that email. You aren't necessarily going to get fired if you don't answer it, which, of course, you know, the president yesterday said maybe you could get kind of fired.
What does that mean, Sandy?
I don't know. You know, I thought it was kind of a you're pregnant or you're not. Deal. I mean, either you're fired or you're not fired. But, you know, you know, the fact is that he's sowing fear and confusion, and they're treating the federal government as if it doesn't matter, as if the federal workers are unimportant to the American people, as if this is just a cumbersome problem, all of these workers that work in the federal government and all the processes that the federal government pursues. And then it's like poking a hornet's nest, because the fact is that our federal government evolved, and it has essentially everything it does is there for a purpose. And when that purpose gets disrupted, the people for whom that purpose is important will react. And so, we've got a position that's being pursued, which is to chop at the federal government so that we can reduce taxes as if taxes are at some inordinately high level, when the facts are that the taxes as a percentage of GDP are at about the lowest level they've been in the last 75 years. We don't have a burdensome tax process ongoing that needs to be treated in this fashion. You know, if we had an orderly analysis of our government, that would give people comfort. But what's going on is not orderly. It's mayhem.
You know, Sandy, even in the face of all of this mayhem, Donald Trump, even though those who support him, his approval ratings, let me see what it says here.
Well, his approval ratings dropped, you know, down to 39. I mean, they are, as at least James Carville reported on a bunch of surveys that have been done and have demonstrated that his approval ratings are eroding rapidly. But my fear is that Donald Trump in this term, his only goal is to get his face on Mount Rushmore. And so it's all about
You mean literally he wants to get his face on Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, literally. Oh, literally. I mean, he not only talks about it, but there's actually a bill in Congress proposing it. I mean, this is a real aim of his. And I think he has people around him who are describing to him the things he needs to do to make himself famous in history and to earn the legacy. You know, there's already a bill in Congress to make his birthday a federal holiday. You know, this is a person who's pursuing personal gain and personal fame at the expense of national interest. And that's what causes me to fear that he's letting himself become the tool of a whole bunch of people with a great deal of will who want to accomplish some things with our government that is only going to be good for the very wealthy, the very powerful, and for a bunch of corporate interests, and is not going to be good for the people.
Well, you know, Sandy, here's a prime example. Because many people may not be aware of this, but, you know, Donald Trump and other minions wanted to go and check on the gold supply. So help me understand, or help us understand, why a president of the United States, with all the other things going on in this nation, Sandy, inflation is really starting to kick back up again. There's fear. Prices are going to be going through the roof. All of this, when they talked about Joe Biden and inflation, it was nonstop piling on with the Democrats. And now they clearly see inflation starting to heat back up again. Donald Trump is doing nothing, and the people with him, to address any of those things, Sandy. People are clamoring and saying they're having more. The food supply, I mean, what's costing them in the grocery store is worse, and yet they're going to check on the gold supply. Come on,
well, let
man.
Me say that this is, I think this is willful and nefarious. I mean, it was Elon Musk that went with him. And here's the deal. Elon Musk has been agitating, and Donald Trump has even talked about setting up a Bitcoin type, a cryptocurrency reserve to be either replace or in addition to the gold reserves as the reserve backup to our currency. And doing that will make cryptocurrency far more valuable than it currently is, okay? And I believe that this was done by Elon Musk and Donald Trump because they intend to do just that, to create a cryptocurrency reserve and to therefore make their own personal investments in cryptocurrency far more valuable than they currently are. I mean, the Trump family, within months prior to the election, set up a business venture that's premised on cryptocurrency. And Elon Musk is heavily invested in a cryptocurrency, which ironically is called Doge. And so, you know, this is not just willy-nilly, and this is not something that's really in the public interest. I think this is something they were doing to combine public interest with private profit.
You know, Sandy, you watch these things that are happening before our eyes. We know you use the verbiage nefarious. You know, I got some, you know, I'm not as eloquent as you, but, you know, listen, man, what they're doing is criminal. If it's not criminal, it should be criminal. And so, how many Americans own cryptocurrency?
Tom, Dick, and Mary are not worried in particular about cryptocurrency. And, you know, if it isn't criminal, it at least should be scandalous, okay? It apparently, at this point, in our current world of non-reality, is none of the above.
All right, let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen.
You don't see any problem with them going and checking on the gold supply?
I think it's. I mean,
come on, man. Come on.
But at the end of the day, the bigger issue is the inflation. And what? Keep in mind, when people were going up in arms, it wasn't. You know, you guys were not that worried about it. It was like 9.5% for a little while. We had 40, I mean, if you look at the price of houses, they literally doubled in 4 years as far as building them and inflation and everything else. What's going to happen here is this. Now, first of all, Department of Agriculture is revisiting the whole idea of where we eliminated, you know, millions of chickens, what, 150 million chickens? Of course that's going to affect egg prices. You know,
egg prices are the least of the worries, Dave, when they're talking about inflation.
Look, Dave, first of all, you're telling us what's going to happen. That's people ought to be taking notes. But, you know, there is definitely everything that Donald Trump is talking about implementing as in terms of policies are inflationary. OK, and to the extent that they are looking at trying to fight inflation, they're only trying to mitigate something which is altogether inevitable. And in particular, with respect to his tariff policy. And if his tariff policy is just negotiation, and if it's not going to be a source of revenue that's paid by the American consumer, then it's also not going to be a source of revenue to the government. But it's clear that he does intend to implement these tariffs, and these tariffs will be singularly inflationary. Okay, there'll be a one-time kick that will cause a permanent level of increased prices.
Missed the boat. I think you just did. You see what Tim Cook and Apple just announced the other day? They're going to.
Well, yes, I did, and I don't think that Tim Cook and.
Stop cutting me off.
Hey, Dave.
$1 billion investment into the United States that would have been made in China. It's no longer going to be made there.
It was going to be made in Mexico. Okay, it wasn't going to be made in China.
Way,
at least the press release.
Between China and Mexico, what he is doing in Cleveland Cliffs, which is a steel operator, they are going to think about, okay, maybe we shouldn't do this. And yes, there might be some short-term pain, but
Dave, I am going to cut you off. Because to use the verbiage short-term pain to people who struggle every day in their lives is unacceptable.
Well, and let me just
come
go
on,
into
short-term
because
pain.
Dave wants to talk about a world in which tariffs are erected to support the production within the United States. So let me just talk a little bit about what happens in a world where countries erect tariffs to protect the production within their territorial boundaries. And what will happen is that the United States, the level of international trade will be reduced substantially. And not only will imports to the United States be reduced, but exports from the United States will be reduced. Currently, the growth rate of almost every corporation that's experiencing material growth is the result of exports. And so we will end up with a world environment in which there is higher prices for everything. Those higher prices will be sustained. They won't be reduced over time. And there will be slower growth rates of GDP as the result. And the notion that in the long run will create more jobs within America actually defies a reality. And, you know, there has been a long-term debate amongst economists about this. But the winning argument for the majority of economists is that stifling international trade for the purpose of trying to erect barriers to international trade to support local production in the long run is a losing proposition for everyone.
So, Dave, hang on a second. You know, I'm getting a little frustrated with people who tell other people they need to experience a little pain. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Every story matters. And the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I sent. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at the same number, Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about the craziness of what's going on, you know? It feels crazy.
Let me, Dave, I wanted to read a little bit about this from Trump, from Farmers for Trump. This is yesterday's. President Donald Trump gets a lot of his political support from farm country, but those who put food on the table are worried that his policies from tariffs to funding freezes will make it harder for them to do their jobs. The prospect of a Trump credit-created trade war has farmers on edge, said the Washington Post. One Iowa farm family said the president's tariffs will drive up the cost of Chinese-made herbicides and tractors they use and will likely cut off the markets for soybean to China and corn in Mexico that the state produces in abundance. Hawkeye State producers don't know where we're going to be at as far as our soybean and corn market, says Susan Shirillis, whose family grows both crops. It's a fresh element of worry as the nation's farmers deal with an unforgiving business environment, she said. The concerns go beyond tariffs. The rapid-fire array of directives from the Trump administration has paused federal funding on a range of programs and grants that benefit farmers, said the New York Times. The DOGE-driven funding freeze at the U.S. Agency for International Development left hundreds of millions of dollars worth of food and supplies sitting in ports, while other federal programs, including those that pay farmers for energy production and soil conservation, have also been halted. The nation's farmers don't need any more uncertainty. They already have enough. So Dave, you say they need to feel a little pain. The farmers disagree with you.
Well, and let me just say, if you use common sense and look at what happens to the world that is has barriers between the countries that are erected in the name of tariffs, what you end up having is a process in which each in each country you manufacture everything that's needed within that country to the extent possible to avoid tariffs. So the United States will no longer derive its profits and its growth from exports. It will derive its profits and growth only from the market inside the United States. And so much like Harley Davidson, if you're going to sell motorcycles in India, you build factories in India. And much like Elon Musk, if you're going to sell Teslas in India, you erect factories in India. And you do the same in China. And so you pursue growth in the international markets by building factories that are local to those international markets. And the factories you have in the United States are built here only to satisfy the United States economy. And so in the near term, there might be a growth in factories so they can meet the demands within the United States. But the United States economy is stagnant. It is not a rapidly growing economy. It is not an economy that's going to support rapid corporate growth. And the rapid corporate growth that's occurred in corporations across America over the last 40 years has been the result of international sales. And so common sense should tell people that tariffs will only be a near-term kind of an effect, and in the long term, it will make everything more expensive, and jobs will follow the product's source of demand, which is the country in which it's sold. And so, you know, you don't really end up getting very far.
Well, you know, Sandy, I don't believe you plant a seed and that plant grows anyway. It takes years. And I think the flippant response that people have about people need to feel some pain is what's at the root of it. Dave, your response.
I look at the city of Milwaukee. You worked at A.L. Smith for all those years. There's no industrial production within the city limits of Milwaukee. Bass Rock just closed up the doors recently, and the city is suffering. And so the policies that Sandy's talking about has not worked out for the average American. As a matter of fact, we're called the Rust Belt for a reason. And the reason being because all the ideas that Sandy and other people have had has hurt the average American. And what I mean by that is that if you look at the entire Midwest, Detroit, Cleveland, St. Louis, they're all very different than what they were 40, 50 years ago, where you could make a very good living working at a factory. And I disagree with Sandy because we have the opportunity now with artificial intelligence, with AI, there could be huge advantages. Production, it's going to be a game changer as far as
automated, whatever it is, Dave, is going to be automated. It's never going to create anywhere near the amount of jobs, even if you believe that. It's going to be automated. Yeah. Okay.
And the effect that hit Milwaukee, the first effect and the Rust Belt was that definition of Rust Belt came up not when jobs were moving out of the Midwest to China or to India. It came up when the jobs were moving to Mississippi and Louisiana. Right. And so
non-union shops.
Yeah, just it was a shift from union to non-union jobs. And you know, I just think that the long term, the realities of the world have a significant probability of occurring. And you can only stop the freight train for a limited period of time.
855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Later tonight, House Republicans are planning to hold a floor vote on their budget blueprint. If passed, it would start the process to advance President Trump's overall agenda. The bill includes money for border security, tax cuts, energy reform, no tax on tips, and other items. More threats from Elon Musk and his demand that federal workers respond to his email telling him what it is exactly that they do from week to week or risk being fired.
Overnight, Musk not backing down, posting on social media that workers can't expect that email to go out again, writing, failure to respond a second time will result in termination.
ABC's Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill. Some agencies told their workers not to respond to the email. Others told them they should respond. President Trump calling Musk's initial email genius. 1,100 workers at Starbucks are going to be laid off as the company restructures and shrinks its menu. The move will not affect baristas. 13 Starbucks drinks are being eliminated. This is ABC News.